Hour number two on a Friday. It is a hot one out here in Bastrop. It's probably hot no matter where you are today, depending on, I mean, I guess you could be up somewhere in the Northeast where maybe it's a little cool. Although I saw the Northeast is getting hit with 90-degree temperatures too. We're at Hyatt Lost Pines Resort. Make sure you stay hydrated. You'll be fine. They are out on the golf course with the Mullet Open right now. And Bucky Godbolt came by earlier to see us. No Trey Elling with us today because he's supposedly on the golf course, although our man Tom McKay of Audiovisual Consultations, who's joining me right now, has gone around every hole. He has not seen Trey. We have no positive identification on Trey yet. And now, do you know who he's playing with? That could tell us a lot. I don't know exactly who he's playing with.
He said he was playing with his dad and his brother and somebody else.
Oh, he's made it a family affair.
Yeah.
That was loud.
Whoa. That's got to be loud enough right
there. Hey, to the texter who said that I was too quiet on the last one, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I've been married 22 years, and all I've been told is to shut up.
So. Yeah, that's right. I think we got the volume good on Tom now. So we'll hope that Trey and his group are out there and having a good time, although Tom has not verified that yet. Lots of comments coming in on the Specs text line. 337-3776. We may need to double check that sound. Now we're sounding a little
echoey.
Echoey now. All right. So
now we sound like we're in the Carrier Dome.
Now it's there.
JW Wireless Dome.
There we go. Yes, the Carrier Dome has been changed to the JMA Wireless Dome. I had to write it down because I'd never remember it. There's no way I would ever remember that. So lots of stuff going on, obviously, around the world of sports. A little basketball talk last hour with the conference finals going on since we are here in the second hour. Let me mention this before I'll mention it later on, but also want to send a birthday shout out for tomorrow. Tomorrow's Ricky Williams' birthday. 45 for Ricky tomorrow. He shares a birthday with Mr. T, the Notorious B.I.G., and Josh Allen. So a nice group with birthdays tomorrow.
Ricky wasn't born on April 12th.
Happy birthday to that is true. Or April 20th.
Well, is that what it is? That shows you how much I know.
Come
about
on, man. Were you trying to make a 420 joke?
I really was.
And you missed by 8 days?
Dude, I am such a loser.
Come on.
Oh, my.
Come on, Tom. All right.
I don't drink. I don't smoke. Well, how boring am I?
Man.
My Lord.
This is going to be a real boring segment then with you and me because I can out-boring just about everybody. All right. So we were just talking about the Saban and Fisher and college football thing and all that. And I wanted you to kind of clarify something a little bit because – when I first heard about NIL laws and rules changing in, what, 21? Was it July of 21, I think is when it happened? Something like that? My interpretation was, oh, okay, they're starting to now take the stuff that was under the table and set it on top. We're going to set this on top of the table. This is going to be on top of the table. I heard about deals can be struck with athletes and businesses, and I thought, wait a minute, that makes sense now. They're embracing what should make sense. So in the initial part of it, I thought, okay, these things are allowed. And then I heard about collectives and groups of boosters getting together. It all made sense to me. But I thought they could all talk to each other. And then the NCAA comes back a couple weeks ago and says, no, wait a minute. The collectives can't talk to the player and can't talk to the family and can't talk to the agent. So can you clarify for me your understanding of who's allowed to talk to whom?
The collective is allowed to talk to the agent. And they are allowed to talk to the player if the player doesn't have an agent.
Okay. If he or she is representing themselves.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, what it stated, though, was that the collective was not allowed to discuss players with coaches or the schools, meaning they couldn't help recruit up front, meaning the coach couldn't say, go get this player for me.
Okay.
Which, just say you didn't say that and you didn't say it. I guess, is that rule. And as long as you don't put it on paper, there's no proof of that. So they were basically saying you can recruit whoever you want. The problem was the collective was not allowed to work with the coach because an NIL deal has nothing to do with the school. In fact, you're not allowed to wear your school uniform. Your like UT player is not supposed to be able to wear their UT logo for the NIL deal. So in order for an NIL deal to take place, they have to have a signed agreement, obviously, which means that player is signing an agreement that they are going to be paid by this company or group of companies to represent them as a player of, for instance, I'm just using University of Texas because we're here, but as the University of Texas, but the University of Texas does not have to have signed them yet, meaning that deal would then be null and void if they didn't go to Texas.
Right, which gets us to the incentive versus once you're there and NIL. And that's kind of what I think Saban and Jimbo are getting into a little bit. But to clarify that, so for a Bijan Robinson, let's say, if there is an agreement with Lamborghini or with Canes or whoever it is, he wouldn't be wearing his, like, uniform in the ad or whatever. See, this is where the silliness starts to come into me. So if I'm the collective, if I'm the booster group at Texas, and I want to make sure – because, like, right now, the Jimbo example, the A&M folks are saying, well, we crossed every T. We dotted every I. We made sure everything was good. How's that possible? Is that through compliance? Can the collective talk to compliance at the university? Is that allowed?
Not supposed to deal with the university at all.
Well, then how do you make sure you get it right?
They don't have to get it right. They're dealing with the player and the player's agent.
But then how could these – how can a coach and – AD at any school tell us confidently we are making sure everything is right and it all follows state laws if nobody's allowed to talk to anybody? How's that possible that they could be confident?
You don't have the what? Okay, what seems to be missing from this factor and what Saban is leaving out is the fact that if the school did not sign something regarding money with a player, the school did nothing wrong. If they signed, and you brought up Lamborghini, so I'm going to say if a student that's planning on looking at schools, Lamborghini said, we're going to let you drive a car when you're in Austin. Totally legal. Now, they don't come to Austin, they don't get a car.
Right.
The school had nothing to do with it whatsoever.
Could they say you can drive the car if you come to Austin?
They can say when you come to Austin.
Okay.
They can say whatever they want. They're talking to the player.
But the deal is only contingent on being in Austin. So,
right.
Yeah, that's only if you show up.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where we get to, I think, a little issue of that I'm trying to figure out, because there's a part of me that wants to know, and Bucky said it last hour, that both these guys are breaking the code. They are discussing this thing out loud and kind of exposing what's going on. But for me, there's also a time issue. And by the way, we are here at Hyatt Lost Pines. I'm talking with Tom McKay, audio-visual consultations. Chad Hastings here. Trey's out on the golf course, and it is Shirts and Skins on the Horn. Hope you're having a good Friday. So, Tom, the issue I'm getting into is time. That's the thing that keeps coming back. I think there's a fourth-dimensional part of this that confuses me. So if Nick Saban is saying that Jimbo bought every single guy in his class, the insinuation I think he's making is that Jimbo and player agreed, hey, it's $100,000 a year if you come to A&M. Cool, and they came, and it was an agreement ahead of time. But Nick is saying that on every one of his guys, that wasn't an agreement. But Nick is quoted, I want to make sure I read this correctly, because Saban said this out loud as well, and I think it's another key part of it. He said, the goal at Alabama is to set up deals for all scholarship players to receive somewhere in the $20,000 to $25,000 range. I guess to Nick that sounds like nothing. Quote, that way nobody feels that one player is getting a bunch of money to come here and another player feels like he's not getting anything. Once they get here and earn it, like a Bryce Young, I'm for them getting everything they can. Then everybody can earn whatever they can earn. So now I'm confused. This is the guy that bragged about Bryce Young before he had taken an actual snap. My guy's almost got $1 million. My guy's practically a millionaire. Hadn't even taken a snap. Okay, well, has he earned it then, Nick? Or is he just in Tuscaloosa? So because he's already in Tuscaloosa, now everything's okay and he could make theoretically $10 million a year. So it's all about the timing of it. Like, are we really concerned about every little detail of why I'm making that choice as an athlete? Like, is the assumption that, well, hey, if you end up at A&M or you end up at Ole Miss, I'm gonna take Nick's side. If you end up at A&M or Ole Miss, and you don't pick Alabama, there is no way there could be a football reason. There's no way there could be a lifestyle reason. It has to be money. You have to have cheated. Is that the argument he's making?
Pretty much. He's whining is one way of putting it to start. Problem with all of it is, and what – the one reason why Jimbo's kind of laughing at it, I would guarantee you, is they don't have the deal. They didn't buy the player. His collectives or his boosters or somebody else bought the players.
Right. They set something up.
Which is totally legal. by the federal law that was passed, and everybody insisted that they pass something, so the federal government and the federal court said, hey, this is the way it is. Live with it. NCAA did nothing. And now they're going.
And now they're trying to, though.
Now we got to listen to Nick Saban, who has basically threatened to leave every school he's ever been at for any other reason and everything. He's whining a little bit because he doesn't have the advantage that he had before, which, yeah, he has the best team. Problem is he's not going to have the best team anymore because he doesn't have the biggest boosters, and he knows it.
Yeah, this is it's a wild story. Let us know if you have thoughts. The Specs text line has been fired up throughout the day. If you have a thought, 337-3776 is – I'm not even sure what this text is about. I'm sorry. I got distracted. Inflation gets so bad, the $7 meal last week now costs $10. I don't even know what that is, but it sounds bad.
Where are you getting a $7 meal? This guy goes to Taco Bell a lot.
I don't know.
My Lord.
Somebody's saying no federal law was passed, but that's what they want. Both Saban and Fisher mentioned the government, saying there needs to be government oversight here. Like they really think Congress is going to vote on NIL or whatever. They have to figure out, and you said this earlier, Tom, I think we're kind of in the same camp here. I remember being, when I was little, hearing about the mess at the stuff at SMU. And I remember thinking, so what?
Right.
Like, to me, I just wanted it to be on top of the table where Eric Dickerson chooses, do I want to drive the Trans Am in Dallas or do I want to drive it in College Station? Do I want to wear red, white, and blue or do I want to wear maroon and white? Let's say those were his two choices in the end. And because of the famous Trans Am thing. And then he drives the Trans Am on campus. So what? And I thought that's where we were headed. I thought we were headed towards everybody can talk to everybody. Let's get this all out in the open and let's do this the right way. And something is occurring and we're getting little pieces of it here and there. But things are going on in Nick Saban's world that have him so freaked out. Even though he is, like you just said, he is who he is. He's still griping. He's griping about a system where he's the king.
Right.
But what you're saying may be true. Do you think he feels like that's eroding a little bit? Like, oh, my God, I'm not going to be the king anymore. Somebody else is going to do this in a different or better way.
Oh, he doesn't feel like it's eroding. It is eroding at a rapid pace, at a pace he could never have imagined it was going to erode. And he's finding out in the first year, I'm losing my guys.
So you think the Bama guys just aren't keeping up booster-wise?
Well, they can't. They're Alabama. I mean, they don't have the same money that some of these other schools have.
Man, I wonder if the difference with...
They've got a lot of money. I mean, every school that's in the, you know, the Division I has a lot of money. But there's schools that have mega money, and there's schools that have a lot of money.
Yeah, and obviously the one school he's dealing with now that's in the state of Texas can generate a lot of money. The other school in the state of Texas that he's going to have to deal with at some point...
Mega money.
They generate the money too. And it's those two, depending on what list you're looking at and what year, the last few years, they've been number one and number two. They've been exchanging spots over the last couple of years, the Forbes list or whatever you want to look at, to generate the revenue. I wonder if that bugs Saban on a whole different level of, look, if Dabo and Clemson beat me, I can live with that. If Smart and Georgia beat me on the field, I can live with that. But when this dude beats me on the field, but he loses those four games, and then he ends up with the best recruiting class in America and takes guys from me. And that Sark guy who lost 6 in a row and went 5-7 takes guys from me. That upsets him. Maybe that's what's really got him going Hulk smash on this whole thing.
It's exactly what's doing it. There's no question. I mean, he is frustrated in the fact that he can't keep his players that are the top dogs if they decide they want some money. Well, we opened it up to you can get some money. Why would you not take the most money? A lot of these guys, I mean, if they go to the NFL, what's the NFL career now? 4 years or something, the average career? So small.
Right, 4 to 5 to get to that pension spot?
Yeah. I mean, they're not making the money. They're not staying in the league till they're 35 or 40. And, you know, they're not NHL where they can work for $1 million a year, because that's not going to get them anywhere because they're only 4 years. So they have to make all the money they can make all the way. Well, these football players can make it when they turn 18. Why would you not start taking it if you're 18 years old and you can get $1 million for 4 years and then get $20 million for the next 4 years? Then you can probably be pretty much set for life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, if you're not one of those top guys, you're not going to get the $20 million. So by proving that you're worth $1 million, that tells the NFL also that you are worth $20 million. If you're one of the top guys in college, you're going to be one of the top guys in the NFL, and all the top guys in college are going to get paid.
Somebody wants to know what you think of people named Tom, spelled T-H-O-M.
I think they're absolutely foolish and should go back to another country, preferably Finland.
Wow. Wow. Finland gets called out. Somebody says Bryce did not have to earn it. He was already enrolled. Boosters giving him NIL money without him even playing is the same as buying stock in a spec company.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
That's one way to look at it. That's where I'm just I'm a little freaked out on the time issue of
it
all.
Great analysis, Texter.
That was good.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, that's a great way to look at it. That's a wonderful way to look at it. I'm wondering about the time aspect of it. And people listening can think whatever they want about my opinion on this, the fact that A&M's involved in the discussion. I get it. You might think I'm jaded, you know, that way. But I've talked for years about wanting the system to be above board and on the and above the table because I don't understand it. I said it a week or so ago. We need to decriminalize the word booster. I don't know why they have to be Darth Vader. I don't know why they have to be evil. I don't get it. I don't know why Darius Rucker and Matthew McConaughey are the greatest things in the world when they're giving you money for a facility. But if Matthew and Darius wanted to give money to a group that's trying to help these players, Tom, somehow they're bad now? Well, we got to watch that. Wait a minute. You can't talk to him. You can't talk to him or her to say that. Well, why not? You want to celebrate them over here, but now if they did it this way, now they're a big, bad, you know, big money donor.
But they're only a big, bad person to the person who doesn't have the big, bad people, which is why Nick Saban is angry. He doesn't have the big, bad people.
Oh, but he's got to have – you're telling me he doesn't have enough to stay quiet?
No, not even close because, I mean, you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars every single year.
You don't think he's got it? You don't think he's got it?
No, not even – no.
Alabama, the booster power, whatever system has been set up. Let's assume something has been set up. Let's assume Nick's had something under the table for a while now. You think that system isn't powerful enough to compete with what A&M and Texas are doing?
It's not the powerful enough. It's not large enough.
You don't think it's liquid enough.
It doesn't have the money that the big school money schools, Texas A&M, USC, UCLA, those guys.
You think if they all hit the
Notre Dame, you think could buy anything they want to buy anytime.
So you think all those schools you just named, when they hit the panic button, they can beat Nick's number?
In 1 second.
Yeah.
I could make one call to people that I know, and I'm not a booster of any kind because I never graduated from college. Yes, I'm stupid, people. It astounds me that I know guys who are, and they could take a phone call and they would give $1 million on the spot. Mm-hmm. And it astounds you that they would do it. Most of them are public institutions, and you just go, well, why? But that's what they do, and they feel really good about being able to do it. So, yeah, I don't think Nick Saban has I'm sure he has a couple, but he doesn't have 1,000 of them.
Somebody texted, Saban has tens of millions. Texas State of has oil money and tens of hundreds of millions.
Exactly.
And that may be a big difference. The other part, you mentioned USC. Just real quick before this break, I also wonder if a story like Jordan Addison bugs Nick Saban, because Jordan Addison decides, Biletnikoff winner decides he's going to transfer. The argument could be, I want to show myself off football-wise one more year and go, but he ends up choosing between USC and Texas. He did not take the Bama trip, even though they talked about it. Never ended up at Ohio State. That was a little rumor, but it didn't happen. And Nick never even got a chance to talk to him. Nick never even got the chance to get him to Tuscaloosa, because that's a good football argument. Go hang out with us. Heisman Trophy winning quarterback that's coming back and all that. So I wonder if that makes Saban mad, too.
What should make
this kid came down to only NIL. You know what I mean?
Well, what should make Saban mad in that situation, that being the high-level player, high-profile player that he is, that his boosters – he should be mad at his boosters, that they didn't go out and say, okay – 100 million. I don't care what it is. We need you on our team. Just get him. He would have gone to Alabama. His boosters let him down. Nobody else did. The system didn't let him down. His boosters let him down.
So in the end, if it was that's true. If it was about NIL for that particular guy, maybe it upset Saban that they didn't take a shot. They didn't take a big enough shot.
And that guy has an agent. That's guaranteed. Because that guy is the highest of the high profiles.
I would think so, yeah.
Well, anybody could have contacted his agent. That agent would have been telling him, just like a real estate agent, that's not going to be a high enough number. That's not going to be a high enough number. That's not going to be a high enough number. And then you just have to keep going up until you get to the number where they go, yeah, now he'll come visit you.
Right. And that's where, when Nick Saban had that quote about agents reaching out and attorneys reaching out, I wonder if it was somebody like a Jordan Addison, a big name for him that he knew he was trying to go after, and then in the end he realizes, wait a minute, we couldn't get there? Is Alabama? That's yeah, I don't know. But there's a lot of stuff out there with Saban and Fisher today. Again, they've both been reprimanded by the SEC for whatever that means. They've been slapped on the wrist by Birmingham, Alabama. All right, Tom McKay, so you headed back out of the course. What are you doing now? What's on the plans?
I'm probably going to go out for a little while longer. I've got to fly to Lubbock for my daughter's high school graduation tonight.
Oh, okay. Congrats.
She's graduating from Texas Tech High School, which I personally didn't even know existed until 4 years ago.
That's well played. Well played. All right, so it's great to see you. Please text me if you get evidence that Trey's actually on the golf course.
I'm going to find him.
Please let me know. That is Tom McKay. Check out audiovisual consultations. Like Wags and so many will tell you, they are the smart guys that never make you feel stupid. Tom might make you feel dumb, but it won't be about the electronics part. Well, no, he might. He make Trey feel dumb about the electronics. He might make you feel dumb. He might even make you feel stupid, but he will make sure you get the audiovisual setup of your dreams. avconsultations.com or 255-8678. All right, up next, let's talk a little high school football, specifically with the 7-on-7 bright and early tomorrow morning. We'll tell you where you can find the schedule and who you may see out there. We'll get you that set up coming up at 1:45. Where are we at in society? A story we don't think have talked about on this show at all, but I'm going to try to give you a slight update. We'll see how that goes. On the Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Aha! Well, this one I've got. Before he walks away, let's see if Tom McKay can identify this one. Come on, Tom McKay. Isaiah's cranking one up for you. Oh, he's got that look on his face again, Zay, like he knows it. I think you got it. Did you just mouth the words? Oh, white is involved.
Not white shark.
You're right there. It is a white shark. What's it called?
Great white.
There it is. Very good. Very good. Well done.
Zay, that is an old song, man. We used to listen to that when we cruised Forest Lane in Dallas.
Don't say it like it's that old. Zay, don't let him believe you that it's that old. I'm glad you ripped out a little great white, once bitten, twice shy for the people. Do you have any connection to that song, Zay? Or are you just playing it to play it?
Nah, it's just a groove. Just a groove.
It's just a groove. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That was a big song. I want to say that was like a spring, summertime kind of song. I'm so cheap, I can tell you that the only time I ever saw Great White live, I got to see him for free. Oh, free concerts back in the day. That was so good. I would convince myself the concert was twice as good just because I got to see it for nothing. All right, so Zay has hit us with some Great White. Linda Ronstadt, who now I got to go look up the song the other day. In fact, Zay's done it to me twice now without even knowing it. The other day, Zay plays the I've Done Everything For You, You've Done Nothing For Me song. That, I didn't know, was Sammy Hagar. He wrote it, did it first, and then Rick Springfield covered it. And apparently, that's what happened with Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me, because he plays Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me, and I'm all confident. Ah, Patty Loveless, what's up? And he's like, no, idiot, it's Linda Ronstadt. He didn't call me an idiot. He's probably just thinking it. Linda Ronstadt, and now maybe that was a cover. I got to go look it up. So Zay getting me the musical education, and he also played some Hall & Oates for us today as well. All right, so I'm Chad Hastings here at Hyatt Lost Pines Resort in Bastrop. My man Trey Elling is out on the course. Tom McKay came by to talk to us. Bucky Godbolt came by to talk to us. Shout out to BJ Walters, who's here engineering for us. He's going to try to clarify some Johnny Depp, Amber Heard information for me coming up here. I'm going to try to give what I know about that story, even though we've never talked about it on the show. That's coming up in Where We At in Society. But right now, let's talk a little high school sports, because they're going to be up early in the morning slinging it over at Lake Travis. Here we go.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to the Horn and go to FLXATX.com.
Yes, indeed. Always a good idea. FLXATX.com. Great high school sports coverage. You got baseball and softball playoffs going on. We still have area teams in those two sports. But you also have something fired up right now that if you're a football freak, you can add a little something to your football freak lineup. Now, you don't have to be like me and actually care about spring like pro leagues. I do peek in on the USFL. Yes, I'll care about the XFL if The Rock can get it back off the ground and get the paddles to the chest next spring. But this time of year is also when 7-on-7 cranks up. If you know your football, you know that style-wise in the state of Texas, 7-on-7 has really become a big deal because of the change in offensive mindset. Everybody's not just running double, you know, running back sets and 2-3 tight end sets. The spread formations have led to this where 7-on-7 teams are a big deal. It's obviously a way to try to get better for the fall, but also this is a legitimate tournament that ends, of all places, in College Station. Every year, these teams are trying to get to College Station in June, and tomorrow is the first SQT. I'm old, so I call them 7-on-7s. The kids call them SQTs, State Qualifying Tournament, as they're leading towards College Station. So tomorrow, you're going to have 16 different teams represented from Austin High to Bowie to Bastrop to Vandegrift to Lake Travis, Westlake, Westwood, and others will be represented. So we're going to be getting out there to check them out. And as we've told you, we are going to have this all-flex team coming up. The flex crew is going to be picking an all-flex team. We're going to have those all-flex watch lists that start coming out after Memorial Day. So I'm actually going to get out there and check it out in the morning. It starts at 8:30. They're doing 8:30, 9:15, and 10 for the first round matches, the round robin games, if you will. And then there'll be two champions that will advance to College Station. They'll get those games started at 11. So I'm told if you head out there, you may be done around noon or so. So it's not taking a ton of your day, and you get to see some really cool high school football talent. And so you'll get to see names like Vandegrift quarterback Braden Buchanan scheduled to be out there, Will Hammond of Hutto and his crew out there, Gary Choice, the wide receiver from Hutto as well. Also earlier, if you were listening to Light the Tower, I heard my man Snoop Daniel say he thinks Bo Edmondson is going to play in the SQT tomorrow for and that is for Lake Travis. They thought, so tonight is Lake Travis's spring game. They thought they were going to hold him out of the 7-on-7s. Snoop's guess right now sounds like he thinks he's going to play. So if you want to show up in the morning, you can find out if that is going to be the case. You may know the name Austin Novosad from Dripping Springs. That is a name I think people know. Keaton Kubeka, the wide receiver from Westlake, was on our station this week on the Flex Show. And I think people are starting to know that name, Jaden Greathouse, and also a receiver from Westlake. All those folks will be out there. Also some good defensive talent in the area. You know I love the defensive side of the ball. I want to check out Taven Lewis, the linebacker from Lake Travis. He's supposed to be out there along with, oh, I got to double check a pronunciation on this, from Hutto, Brody Bujnok, B-U-J-N-O-C-K, Bujnok, Bujnok. That's a good name for a linebacker right there. Going to be out at the SQTs tomorrow. So 7-on-7, cranking up at 8:30 in the morning out at Lake Travis if you want to check it out. And, of course, we always invite you to check out Snoop and Zach and Nolan and Cameron and the crew at Flex, FLXATX.com, for all those cool videos. I saw a video last night, Snoop out and about with the softball playoffs going on and interviewing players after the game, giving them a chance to, you know, get their face out on social media and give some shout-outs and, you know, giving them a little love off of that. So it's pretty cool. FLXATX.com for all your high school sports stuff. All right, so we've been talking, obviously, about this college football story. Oh, how about this? Wait a second. Hold on. Somebody texted Warren Zevon wrote it. What? Poor, poor, pitiful me? Don't tell me that's true. Don't tell me that's true. Now I'm going to really have to look it up. This is fantastic. Somebody just texted Great White with a exclamation point. That is fantastic. And somebody's getting on Tom for referring to Texas Tech as Lubbock High School. I completely supported that move, so there you go. All right, so a lot of texts have been rolling in today on the Saban and Fisher stuff. And you may be wondering, you know, exactly some of my thoughts on this matter. I've been thinking on it pretty hard throughout the day. I watched all nine and a half minutes of – Jimbo Fisher and the press conference and everything. So, as I said yesterday, I agreed with Paul Wadlington, Scipio Tex, who comes on with us on Thursdays. If I was Jimbo, if Jimbo called me, Chad, what should I do? I would have said, don't go to his level. Don't get in a yelling match with him. Don't get in a griping match with him. You need a well-orchestrated, put a lot of attitude in it. You need a media release is what you need. You need a press release. And you can be as strong as you want to be. We can double check it. It won't be your normal delivery. It'll be measured. It'll be thought out. And in it, you state clearly, we crossed every T. We dotted every I. We did everything we needed to do. And you can call it whatever you want, but we feel like there's a lot of opportunity when you come to A&M, and we try to provide that to our players. We would assume Nick does the same thing in Tuscaloosa and move on. And that's it. That's what I would have done. But I also said it yesterday, that's not why A&M hired that guy. They didn't hire him to be just put out media reports. They hired him to be brash. They hired him to have an attitude. They hired him to get after it. And I thought Rod Baber said something yesterday on Ball Don't Lie that was fantastic. When he said to the audience, and he said it about political stuff before, but it fit here. When he said, if you didn't get what Jimbo Fisher was saying, he wasn't talking to you. He was talking to what he believes his group is. He was talking to his people. He was talking to those Aggies that are going to be fired up about that idea. And if you listen to the Ross Bjork comments, that's apparently what's happening. They're getting fired up. Border region's getting fired up. Everybody is supporting Jimbo in a big way. I do think both coaches stepped over a line, and I don't quite understand why. But I also think what Jimbo had an opportunity to do is a line I heard delivered years ago. It was in music, actually. I'm watching it was in a Metallica documentary. Metallica was a band, quick history, who don't know. They were a band who's a legendary thrash metal band, but at some point they crossed a line and crossed over into kind of being a hard rock band, and some people then turned on Metallica. So there was a line about Metallica. People would say Metallica sold out. It was past this point, Metallica sold out. One of the band members would always say, yes, we sold out. We sell every seat in the house out every night. And he would look at the camera and then move on. That, to me, is what Jimbo had a chance to do. When Jimbo, he needed to take the phrase, bought players, and he needed to figure out a way to craft it back around and just move on. Nick Saban says we bought every player in our class. No, we didn't buy every player in our class. We sold every player in our class on the opportunities that we have, both in education and in athletics, in College Station. And if you don't know about it, you need to come visit sometime. Gig them. That's what he needed to do. Turn it around. That's what he should have done. And it wouldn't have taken 9.5 minutes of forehead sweat and despicable over and over again and all that he did. And diming out the business. There's no need to do it. For you pro wrestling fans out there, this has had a little Montreal screw job feel to it, hasn't it? Y'all remember that one, right? This has had a little Brett and Sean and Vince, and are they really talking about this stuff out loud? Those of us that knew what it was, knowing it is one thing, but are y'all really talking about it? One of the reasons why Vince knew he could screw Bret Hart was that he knew Bret Hart wasn't going to go on a news show and reveal the business. But then he did exactly that. So that's the part that's weird. Nobody would have thought Nick Saban would have done this. Let's say for a second that Jimbo Fisher and A&M are doing something that they believe is wrong and salacious. Well, the last person they ever would have dreamed would have told everybody about it is Nick. There's no way they would have guessed that Saban would have done that. Is Saban mad they got the one class? Of course. But they didn't think he was going to do exactly what he did. So I think both sides had some weirdness to it. But if I was running Jimbo's PR campaign, that's how I would have handled it. Because I think every once in a while, Jimbo needs to be the quick boom and move on instead of there's no boom in that. There's no period. There's no exclamation point. There are barely commas and semicolons when he gets going. that's what you got out of that ramble. So there are some of my thoughts on it, and please let me know yours. There's a lot of stuff coming in on the Specs text line, and somebody texted, what football player do you know wants an education in growing plants? Some do. You don't know. You have no idea what they want. That's the beauty of it. There's opportunities everywhere. All right, coming up at 2:05, our man Brad Kellner is going to drop by. If he can get out of the lazy river. If I can get out of the lazy river long enough, and if he's sober enough, he'll come over and talk to us. I want to get Brad's thoughts on a lot of stuff that has nothing to do with Houston. He is a poor Dallas area kid that's in Houston doing sports radio. They're making him talk Astros every day. I'm not going to do that to him. I'm going to let him talk about his Longhorns. I'm going to let him talk about this college football stuff. We might even talk about Mavericks because I know he's following that series too. That's coming up at 2:05. Up next, where are we at in society? I do not have a disgusting story that Trey would be proud of, but there is a disgusting element to this story. I won't talk about that, but I'm going to try to get myself clear on what's going on with Depp and Heard. That's coming up on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Rolling through a Friday show here. Sounds like a little bit of that George Thorogood kind of vibe to it, but a little smoother voice than that. I don't know. Who is it, Zay?
Dr. Feelgood, Milk and Alcohol.
Wait, there's an artist called Dr. Feelgood? I didn't know that.
Apparently.
Wow. It's not just a Motley Crue record, huh? Okay, fair enough. I'll have to let my wife know about that one. Dr. Feelgood is on the show along with Great White, along with Linda Ronstadt, and Hall & Oates. What's it called again? Alcohol?
Milk and Alcohol.
Oh, Milk and Alcohol. Okay, I can certainly get behind that because I did fall in love with the Colorado Bulldog back in the day. You take a white Russian that the dude loves so much and put Coke on top, that's a Colorado Bulldog, kids. It is dangerous. Don't ever go to a wedding and drink five of them all in hurricane glasses because you will do what I did, which is vomit between that church and the next church next to it. But I was non-denominational. I puked right in the middle of the two. Thank you for that memory, Zay. I appreciate that. All right, I may need Zay's help on this. I'm also going to bring in our man BJ Walters on this, not because he's an expert, but because I need non-experts. I just need people that know something about this story. Trey tries to bring the weird in this segment, and there's nothing weirder than this right now, so let's go where we at and try to figure it out.
Where are we at in society today?
All right, so the story here, we've not discussed this story at all. I don't think for 1 second of this show have we discussed Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, even with the weird, disgusting little sidebar about Amber Heard in the bed or whatever. We're not going to get into that. But I just, for some reason today, fellas, decided I'm going to look at the update on this story and try to update the people on what has happened. So I'm going to lay out what I think I know, and then you guys can throw in if there's any additional information. So my understanding of this story is that they divorced back in like 2017 or something like that. Then she puts out a story where she says she is a survivor of domestic abuse. Never mentioned Johnny Depp, but Depp thinks that just the mentioning of it cost him work. So he sues her for $50 million. She countersues for $100 million, and now they are in court. BJ, do I have all that right?
Yeah, and I think one of the issues here is we tend to look at, especially British tabloid papers, as just taking it, – it's basically constant, you know, Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith, whatever's going to get you clicks – put it out there.
Just salacious stuff all the time.
Just all the time. Like
That's where it came from with her in the beginning?
That's where it came from with her in 2018. She did an interview with the Sun newspaper. I have a hard time believing she didn't know where she was going with the information. The Sun does not have a good reputation.
Okay.
And hasn't for 30 years in Britain in terms of the tabloid journalism. So the fact that she went there, for all we know, she may have not even put it in the way that it is being, you know, printed over there, for all we know, especially by that paper.
Like
of
they might have changed some things.
They could have. It's literally a case of whatever's going to get them clicks, whatever's going to get them eyeballs, they're willing to put out there. So that's why you had the initial 50 million lawsuit, and then she came back with the 100 million lawsuit. And, I mean, now it's a mess because it seems to be a theme of the show, going public with things that maybe didn't need to be said out loud has led to this.
Yeah, and kind of exposing this. In this case, it's exposing a marriage or whatever. Zay, give me some thoughts on this from your side of things. I haven't talked to you about this story at all. In terms of, so they're both in court ultimately looking for money. In this situation, they're long divorced, right? This isn't the divorce settlement. This is just two competing hunks of money they're looking for, right?
Yeah, and then they have a tape out there where Amber is basically just destroying Johnny and calling him all these names and out his own name, and Johnny seems pretty calm about it, and, you know, she's verbally abusing him in a way, and then there's the crap the bed story where she had to go on.
Right.
Where she had to say that she didn't crap the bed, it was the dog. So it's just messy. Ugh. And like BJ said, it's all about the clicks and likes and stuff. It's petty stuff, but, you know, it's America. We love petty.
Yeah, so then this week, Whitney Heard Enriquez, which is her sister, her younger sister, has testified. Apparently she lived with them during their relationship at one point, and she is saying that she did witness Johnny Depp being violent towards her and throwing things at her, throwing things at other people, grabbing and slapping Amber, different things like that. And I'm also reading at the end of this story that at some point we're about to get to the Amber Heard takes the stand part of this story. Now, has either one of them taken the stand? Do y'all know that? Like, I've seen Depp in the courtroom looking like Johnny Depp, but has he spoken yet?
I know, like, Amber Heard got cross-examined. Was it earlier this week, Zay?
I want to say she's been talking because they had her looking like Dr. Evil. She had like the Dr. Evil all gray fit on, which, I mean, I don't know. It looked pretty good to me. Whatever. If that's her role, then cool. But I really don't know much about this. All I know is she might have crapped the bed. She might not have. It might have been the dog.
Man. Okay, now, is it wrong that my only touch point on this story is that I'm worried that it's going to affect the production of Aquaman 2? Like, is that wrong? Because all I think of when I think of her, Zay, is that she makes a really hot mermaid lady beside Jason Momoa, and I'd kind of like to see part two of that movie. So is that small of me? Is that petty?
It's a little petty. Now, she has that big of a role in Aquaman 2. They can't cut her off. Like, I mean, they can't, like, just throw her on land and say, oh, well, look what happened to her. She's gone now.
She's flopping around in scene one. No, I don't think that's how it works. No, I don't think you can do that. And they're a little more advanced than that, Zay. Okay. They're not like a goldfish that you pour out on a table.
Just making sure DC got around to that. Just making sure they're above that.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's a little petty, but isn't this whole thing petty?
Well, I was going to say, yeah, aren't I just joining their pettiness? Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. And then, BJ, you brought it up. Is this a Saban Jimbo discussion where it's like, why are the two of you talking about this stuff out loud? Now, look, if she is truly – If she was a victim of domestic violence and wanted to go after him for that, that's one thing. But then it didn't really seem to happen. Like, to me, all she needed to do was just chill out. Why worry about, you know, she could deal with the lawsuit or whatever that he wanted to file and just, you know, show up with evidence. And if she wanted to have her sister tell him about it or whatever. But then to countersue is a little bizarre, and then some of her actions don't come off as perfectly normal. Doesn't seem like a normal, let's just have a cocktail party kind of couple.
Yo,
let's just put it that way.
Yo, they need to go. You know how Bill Clinton and Lewinsky, how they found the dress, got the stain, and found the evidence.
Oh, here we go.
They need to find the stain on the mattress,
run it
for evidence, and see was it Amber or the dog. That's what I need to know.
All right, here, I want you to just, as long as you're going there, let's try to paint the picture of that courtroom that day. That would mean they would have to find some kind of a forensic expert, some kind of a police officer that deals with the with scientific evidence, and he or she would have to sit there. I would prefer it be like a super nerdy older man. If I could get that to be like a 78-year-old man that like has been he's worked on legendary cases, right? Like he's dealt with forensics and CSI stuff for the most famous stories we've ever known, and he has to sit there and identify, sir, can you tell us if what you found in the bed was dog or human? Like that moment, we need that, don't we?
Absolutely.
Well, we haven't.
As a society, we need to get there.
I mean, we haven't had one of those moments since the glove with OJ. We need another one of those.
God, please. What? Okay, you know what? Specs text line, take that idea and give me the rhyme scheme. What's the last line from the lawyer? What is the, if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit for this particular story? 337-3776. Thanks to BJ and Zay for trying to help me sound like I know what I'm talking about there. All right, if Brad Kellner is out of the floating river, lazy, it's not a floating river, Chad, that's redundant comment, the lazy river, then he'll talk to us about some stuff. Otherwise, we'll just keep on rolling because there's a lot of stuff to get to today, including why today matters, a little May 20th, May 21st, including a Longhorn Heisman winning legend that's got a birthday over the weekend. We are, speaking of legends, we're at the legendary Hyatt Lost Pines Resort for the 21st annual Mullet Open. We'll go back over some of those great sponsors and stuff. There's some awesome auction items out here. I want to let you know about those as well. Stay with us. This is The Horn.